of you out there in Radio Land. This is KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. And for our virtual listeners, we hope your computer is locked onto our website, kptz.org. Our website's more than a way to listen to today's show. For example, you can find the biographies of all our hosts and DJs. You can look up calendar listings to see what's happening around town. You can even sample some of our earlier shows. In fact, much of the original programming on KPTZ is currently available as a podcast. You know, double your listening pleasure. Listen to today's show as well as some others. I'm Marianne McNellis. This show is called Our Town. Have you ever wondered who the people are that you see every day around the area? The Wooden Boat Festival brought lots of tourists, of course. But who's in the army of volunteers who do everything from controlling boat traffic to parking cars? I bet they're mostly locals, devoted to our maritime heritage. And who are the young athletes who've been honing their skills at the parade ground at Fort Worden? Perhaps the next generation of business owners and city council members are out there today. Who drives the scarce taxis around town? They say taxi drivers, like hairstylists, know a lot of secrets. Wouldn't you like to know those secrets? Jefferson County is full of all sorts of fascinating characters. This show, Our Town, tries to profile a few of the singular personalities who live here. But the show's only a half hour long, which is definitely not long enough to do justice to some of our fellow citizens. So it's a synopsis. We try to get our guests to talk about their lives, their dreams, and how they ended up on the western edge of the continent, able to look across the Strait of Juan de Fuca right at Vancouver Island, Canada. Over time, we'll be talking with firefighters and foodies, bus drivers and baristas, the lawyers and the ladies who lunch. We try to find out what makes them tick and what they think about living in beautiful Jefferson County amid the deer, the otter, and even the magnificent soaring eagles. My guest today is Terry Snyder, who is a lab tech at Jefferson Healthcare. If you've ever had to have a lab test in Port Townsend or anywhere in this area, and who hasn't, you've probably met Terry, but I bet you don't know much about her. You're in and out in a moment or two with just a little prick in your arm where she drew your blood. Well, today we're going to find out more about Terry, who she is and what she thinks and does. Welcome to the show, Terry. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me here, Marianne.
I always like to start sort of at the beginning. Are you a local girl born and bred in Port Townsend?
No, I'm actually from the Midwest, Indiana, as a matter of fact.
Indiana,
back in the Midwest.
Is it nice and flat there?
Flat. I grew up across from a cornfield.
I see. Well, that was interesting in its way, I suppose.
Yeah.
Did you go to high school in Indiana?
I did. I went to high school and college as well there.
Well, when you were a teenager, teenagers label each other. They, you know, want to put everyone in a peg somewhere. What do you think your peers thought of you at that point in time?
During high school, I would say I was probably the quiet one and the sickly one.
Oh, dear. Did you miss a lot of school?
I missed some here and there throughout my high school years and college as well.
When we were talking the other day, you said that you had asthma, and at that point in time, there weren't a lot of really good treatments for it.
I've had it since I was very young. I was hospitalized before I was a year old.
Wow.
On and off, it's been, you know, a major portion of my life. It's something I have to think about all the time. And growing up, we're going somewhere, we'd have to be careful because I'm allergic to, it seems like, everything, animals and dust, pollen, molds.
And those are all triggers.
I liked animals, so I'd go over to my little friend's house and play, and unbeknownst to my mother, they'd have an animal, but I wouldn't tell her till I came home wheezing.
So you're just playing with the puppy.
Yeah, I was just playing, having fun.
Oh, dear. That's rough. You told me at one point about a car trip. Maybe there were several car trips. Your mom and your siblings, you all went to Canada to get some medication there.
When I was a young child, there were a lot of midnight trips to the emergency room to get adrenaline shots. when the new medication came on the market to open your lungs, it's called a bronchodilator. It was first legalized in Canada.
Yeah.
Having a pediatrician who had seen me throughout the years knew about this and sent my mom and I on a trip to a hospital in Canada to get some medication.
You know, that's still true today that people go to Canada to get different medications,
yeah.
Not necessarily that one. How big of a trip was it from where you were at?
It was a car trip.
Yeah.
It was going to be a hospital visit or a medical visit, but we were going to have fun as well.
Why not?
Yeah.
Enjoy it when you can. There also was a point in time when you were a teenager where you went to a facility in Colorado. Can you talk about that?
National Jewish Hospital. That was a place where you would go for an extended stay to help develop a personalized therapy for your asthma, in this case, to keep it under control.
Wow. How long did you stay?
I was there, maybe a month. It was during my high school years. I thought it was a great trip. I got to go to another state, and I was old enough that it was fine with me being on my own.
So you
without
sort of
my parents and
viewed it as an adventure.
Yeah,
<in a way.
laughs> yeah, I did.
Were there other kids there?
There were some, and they planned events for us, so we had to do a lot of field trips.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, they kept us entertained.
Even though it was a medical thing, it sounds like it had its moments of pleasure.
Yeah, it was fun.
You weren't worried about being sort of on your own there? You took it as an adventure instead?
Yeah, exactly. I
well,
did.
And did you take your books with you?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I'd end up in the hospital, I was very studious. I always take my stack of books with me.
Wow, that's dedication. Some people decide pretty early in life what it is they want to do when they grow up. Were you in that category?
Science was always an interest of mine. I thought working in a lab would be interesting. Eventually, when I lived in Seattle, applied to Children's Hospital, and that's where I worked for almost 2 years and trained.
Well, were your family in the medical field? Do you have role models there?
No, no one's in the medical field.
Maybe just all your experience with
the
medical
field. Yeah, being in the hospital,
you
know. Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. So you mentioned you went to college in Indiana.
Correct, yes.
Where'd you go?
I went to Ball State University in Muncie, Indiana.
And your degree was in?
I have a double major in biology and psychology and a minor in chemistry.
Wow, that's a heavy load there.
Yeah, all that to be a vampire. That's what I unofficially call myself.
Well, most kids have some jobs, summers or whatever, when they're in college. Did you do any?
While I was in college, I worked at a pizza place that was on campus.
Mm-hmm.
It was called the Flying Tomato.
The Flying Tomato, yes. Right. Well, that sounds good.
Yeah,
good
it was.
Start.
It was the campus hangout.
There you are in Indiana. You mentioned you ended up out in Seattle. So how did that happen?
I was influenced by probably the doctors who would always tell my parents, you should move to the desert because I had so many allergies, allergies, everything. So I guess it was in the back of my mind that I have to move. I can't live here. And, mm-hmm. and the heat and humidity in the summers were just, it was just kind of unbearable. I met somebody in college and they ended up in Seattle. So I took a road trip and decided I really liked it. Got to Seattle and it was one of Seattle's overcast gray days and I just fell in love with it.
But wait a minute, didn't you just tell me they were urging you to move to the desert?
They were urging me to move to the desert. They were. And to this day, I just cannot stand being in the desert. So
you made a wrong turn.
I made a wrong turn.
Yeah,
but I kept the moving part in mind.
The moving part. I can see that. So you first arrived out in Seattle and you applied to and got a job at Children's Hospital?
Yeah, well, first I got right into a pizza place because that's where
easy,
I had worked before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did eventually apply to Children's Hospital and worked in the lab there.
Did you have to take any special training to do that?
Not then. They trained on the job. Mm-hmm. And they were a training facility as well. They trained techs. I'm actually a phlebotomist. They had a tech training programs.
Is it still true today that people can go directly into a training program and become a phlebotomist, or do they have to do some other studies first?
There's probably a couple of different routes. And sometimes it's part of a larger program, like a medical assistant program. And other times it's specifically a phlebotomy program. And sometimes if the need's great enough, they'll take you in and train you if you have an interest and you have a new career.
Okay. So phlebotomy is not something most people have in their vocabulary.
That's true.
Can you explain what it means?
Just simply drawing blood.
That's simpler for us to understand.
Yeah.
So you did that in Children's Hospital for a couple of years.
I did, yeah.
And then what?
I met my children's father, decided to go back to Indiana. I had my oldest, my son, in Indiana, and I had a semester to finish my degree. So I went back and finished my degree. Then I came back out to the Pacific Northwest. I moved to Squim following their dad there. Within a year, started working at the hospital, and the commute was kind of long, so I eventually moved a bit closer to the hospital.
So originally you were commuting from Squim down into Seattle?
No. Oh, I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
Okay.
Originally I was in Seattle. When
right.
I moved back, I moved back to Squim.
Right.
And then I worked at Jefferson at that point, Jefferson Healthcare.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I moved closer to Port Townsend.
And at that point you had two little kids?
I had my son. My daughter was still a thought.
Okay.
And people who've been here long enough probably remember me waddling around the hospital as wide as I am tall, because I'm not very tall. And they're all shocked to hear that she's grown and just graduated college this last summer. And a lot of people have seen my kids grow up because they've been around the hospital and a lot of times in the waiting room doing homework before school.
So she just graduated. So where'd you graduate from?
Both of my kids graduated from a Western up in Bellingham.
Uh-huh.
A lot of Port Townsend kids do end up there. It's a great school. It's not overwhelmingly large like some universities. It's just this wonderful university, beautiful campus.
Hmm. So what did she major in?
My daughter majored in mathematics with a minor in computer science.
Mm-hmm.
She's in that transition phase. She's thinking about where she's going to work. She just got back from a trip in Thailand. There's a wonderful local group, the Expedition Club. The leader of that group came back and asked her if she would go along and be a chaperone.
Nice.
This year they went to Thailand for 6 weeks. She absolutely loves it. All the kids who take that trip are really touched by it and often make a return trip. She did that about a week after she graduated college. She's back now and ready for real life.
Ready for real life.
And, yeah.
Does she have a master plan here, or is she just
feeling her way? She's got an idea what she wants to do. She wants to get an internship, work for a couple of years, pay off her debts, and save up because she wants to do more traveling.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it costs money for the most part.
So she's hoping that those degrees will help her with the salary side of it so she can save some money. Yeah.
Sounds smart. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM. The show's called Our Town. I'm your host, Marianne McNellis. Our Town profiles some of the fascinating people who live and work on the Olympic Peninsula. Today, my guest, Terry Snyder, who's lab technician at Jefferson County Hospital. And Terry was just telling me about her daughter who just graduated from Bellingham. Now I'm going to ask her about her son. He also went to Western. Mm-hmm. What's he doing?
Nick graduated with his undergrad there, and then his advising professor was so impressed with him that she talked him into staying for a couple of additional years to get his master's in chemistry. He got his undergrad in biochemistry, and then, encouraged by her and his interest in science, he is now at Tufts University working on his PhD.
Wow.
In Boston.
And what's he getting his PhD in?
Biomedical engineering.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, he's
not completely sure I understand it, but it's very impressive.
I know, but his goal, when he stated when he graduated high school, was to figure out how to wire his computer into his brain. And unfortunately, I think they're working on, not him, but they are working on that out there.
Wow. You have two kids who sound like they're really on the right path, very successful as far as, you know, as young as they are. They're doing many good things. What's your secret? How did you manage to raise a couple of kids that are on the right path? Let's put it that way.
You know, they're just good kids. They've always been amazing kids. They're just good people, make good decisions. They have lots of interests and academic interests, so I've always tried to encourage them, pursue their interests. They've had some interests outside, like Corinna with her interest in traveling. And Nick has other interests. He grew up doing martial arts and has black belt in 3 different forms of martial arts.
Wow.
He taught that for a while he was in college as a way to earn money. I don't know that I can take a lot of credit for it. They are just amazing kids.
Did you have them on sort of a strict schedule when they were younger, or were you more free form? What do you think?
I think they would think that I was strict in some ways. But
use an example.
They couldn't just be somewhere without being accountable. For example, they weren't allowed to just go out and I didn't know where they were. But they're very communicative. It's not like something I had to enforce. They just let me know what they're up to and what they were doing. And they always surrounded themselves with wonderful people. They had great friends. So
I think that's part of it.
Definitely part of it. And being involved in outside activities. And Corinna was also on the swim team in high school. I think that helps a lot, too.
Yeah, I think you're right. You've been at Jefferson Healthcare for a number of years now.
Yeah.
There certainly have been a lot of changes there.
Oh, my goodness, yes, there have been. I remember how tiny I was when I first started. I remember when they were showing me around, giving me the tour, and I had come from working at Children's, which is a big hospital, and it was less stress. But they showed me, I don't know how many beds there were, maybe 20. And I said, well, where's the rest of the hospital? How do we get upstairs? That's it. That's all there is.
Oh, dear.
It has since grown quite a bit.
Yeah. It always seems to be bustling. Now, in that lab, how many people are working at any point in time?
In the outpatient area where I am, there's usually 2 of us there.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are several phlebotomists who take care of the emergency room and the inpatients, and then who are also processing samples in main lab. And then, of course, behind the scenes are the technicians who are taking the samples that we've gathered and putting them on the machines and doing all the testing.
Well, roughly how many in the outpatient area, how many people would you see per day?
We have grown quite a bit. I would say we average about 100 people a day through there. Yeah.
So each of you handles about 50 different
people. Something like that, yeah.
People. And what are the common tests that are done in there?
Oh, common tests are like a CBC, which is a blood count, and some general chemistries, like a CMP, things like that.
Mm. Well, I know you can't talk about particular cases or particular clients or anything like that, but has there ever been something that just was so strange that it really stopped you in your tracks?
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure there are lots of stories that if you were to start interviewing the people around the lab, they all have stories, but nothing comes to mind at the top of my head.
It's okay. It's okay. And, of course, the location of the lab is nice, right near that wonderful cafeteria.
Oh, yeah. Run by a chef.
Yeah,
he's done a great job. Oh, my goodness.
He's a really interesting guy.
Aaron Stark, he's done some impressive things in the community and at the hospital. And it's a destination point
for
people. I know.
There are people who go to lunch there. It's not like they're visiting someone in the hospital or they have to have a test.
Yeah.
They just go there for lunch.
Yeah. I have a window out on the parking lot. And one day I saw a tour bus coming through and these people lining up, coming in. I'm like, oh, my goodness, what's going on? And they were headed to our cafeteria dinner.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
Well, I guess it's a testament to the quality of the food in there.
Indeed. Yeah. Indeed.
Yeah. Well, I know you work long hours and hard, but you have a little time off. Your kids are now out of the house,
so you
aren't running around with them all the time. So what do you tend to do in your off time?
Well, what I do for fun, I do Zumba, which it is a great form of exercise just because it's cheerful and happy. You can come in with having the worst day and then the music starts. You start moving to the rhythm. Your troubles just melt away. You forget everything that was bothering you. Just get lost in the music.
Can you explain what makes it different than any other class which has music in it?
It is interesting, I guess, because it encourages people to be moving, even singing sometimes, snapping their fingers and clapping, and we try to get people involved in the music, and it's not just the music playing in the background. You are, you know, dancing to the music. Well, I have a sister who worked at a job where after work they could have various organized different kinds of workouts. And she said you could tell the Zumba group from any other group, she said, because they're the ones laughing and hollering and having fun. The other groups, you know, they're grunting and serious. And
well, is there like a routine that you do, or is it free form? Or
the instructor has a routine for each song, mm-hmm. and then stands in front and people watch and follow along, and you go at your own pace. I mean, we have younger people who like to push the limits, and they're energetic and they jump and turn, and people who may feel their age a little more, so they don't jump, they step, or they don't spin, but, you know, do a sidestep. You go at your pace.
I talked to Chris Nelson, who's mm-hmm. the owner of mm-hmm. Sirens and a couple of other establishments, mm-hmm. and she's another Zumba aficionado.
Yes, she is.
And I read in the paper this story about a flash mob for Chris. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun for her students and for some of the other instructors. Her fiancé is a Zumba instructor of instructors, and he teaches the instructors. And there was a gathering in Seattle, so one of our local instructors happened to be part of that gathering. He was letting the group know what he was planning, so she got the word out. It's amazing that Chris did not find out, considering she seems to be in the know.
Yes.
It was a great fun for her class and instructors for us to gather and do this routine he had asked us to do.
And then what happened?
And he proposed, and out there in the street outside of her restaurant. That was pretty exciting. It was lovely to see it in the paper, too.
Yes.
Yeah, and his daughter was there playing the drums. It was really sweet.
So it was a choreographed thing then, right?
It was choreographed. Grand romantic gesture.
That's nice. That's really.
With an amazing backdrop right there on Water Street. And as soon as the music started, of course, you know, people wander over, see what's going on. So
that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
It does sound like fun. So how often do you participate in Zumba classes?
I have been participating for years, probably about 4 days a week. Last year, I became an instructor. I have two regular classes in the evening and then usually one weekend a month that I share with other instructors, with a group that's out at Twisters. That's the backside of Twisters. That was started there by a lady that was my instructor for years, Tricia Miller. There are several other instructors there. We have morning and evening classes, so...
If someone listening is interested in finding out more about it, how would they find out more?
It's on the Zumba website. You can look up and find out about the days and the times, and it's posted on the door there as well.
Okay. But there are, I believe, several other Zumba groups around town.
There are. There at the rec center, there are some Zumba classes. Like I said, if you go to the website, they'll tell you where all the classes are, classes in Ludlow. And
so many ways to participate if you wanted to.
Yes, and also at the different fitness, like Evergreen, I know they have one, and I would assume the Athletic Club has one, yeah.
So you've lived in this region for a number of years. Have you ever considered moving back to the big city or back to Indiana?
I'm not a big city person. You know, it's nice to visit, but... I share that same feeling that everybody has of crossing the Hood Canal Bridge, and you just kind of, the stress just melts away. You have a sigh of relief. You're like, oh, back to the peninsula. I like the small town feel. It is difficult being so far away from family, with my parents still there and sisters, and they love to visit. They love it here.
And so they're still all in Indiana, huh?
Yeah, they're all still in Indiana. They visit quite regularly, and we go back and visit a lot of times at Christmas and get our dose of snow and fun.
But I bet you don't visit in July or August.
I try not to. Yeah. Those are my hard times. I mean, I do have better medications now for my asthma, but it's still a lot. You know, the high temperatures and the humidity. Yeah, it's hard for anyone, even if you don't have breathing problems.
So standing back from it a little bit, what do you like best about the Olympic Peninsula?
Oh, the beauty is just, it's just overwhelming. I mean, I walk out my door and I just, you know, love the trees, the mountains, the, you know, the ocean, and the animals here in the, you know, small town. And you can't drive anywhere without seeing deer. I mean, it's just not
possible.
That's true. You cannot. I know it's a nuisance for some people, but I love them. It's the beauty and the slow pace. Pretty amazing little piece of paradise.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, there's something special about this region, but it's nice here. Although there are times I do miss certain city things, like shopping more easily. You know?
Yeah, it's not so far away that it's, you know, it's impossible. But yeah, it's not as easy as just jumping in your car and driving down the street to a Walmart. You've got to make that list and keep it going until
right,
you go.
Exactly. So what about with your kids? Do you think either of them will end up back here, or do you think they're set on other paths?
They're probably set on other paths. I mean, they might come back to the Pacific Northwest, but their careers, I don't think, are going to jive too much with a small town, especially with my son.
Yeah,
being
it doesn't sound
research.
Like it.
Yeah, he'll probably be in a university.
Yeah,
and my daughter, who knows? We'll see where she goes. She's got her adventures, and who knows, maybe it'll lead her back.
Yeah, well, if she's still on a formative stage, you know?
Yeah.
But that's fun. I want to thank you, Terry, for being on the show.
Thank you, Marianne.
I've been talking to Terry Snyder, who is a lab technician at Jefferson Healthcare. In addition to thanking you, I want to thank my partner, John McPherson, who is the man in the glass booth. He's our editor and producer, and he will edit this to make us sound much more eloquent and better than we might sound in real life. I also want to thank Larry Stein, program director, Kate Ingram, station manager, and Robert Ambrose, chairman of the board. All work incredibly hard to grow and sustain this station. I want to thank you, the listener. KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend, is a community radio station. We're all volunteers here. We give our time because we all believe that Jefferson County needs a free local voice. We need your support, listeners. We need your donation, and we always need volunteers. Donations are particularly important right now. We're trying to raise money to move out of our current world headquarters in a trailer at the Mountain View School. We've actually started renovation of a building in Fort Worden. We still need more donations to finance construction. So, listener, I'm signing off for today, but please keep listening to KPTZ Port Townsend 91.9 FM for more dynamic, eclectic community radio.
Our Town is an original KPTZ production created by Marianne McNellis and engineered by John McPherson.